My dearly beloved in Christ, there is a very important statement in the gospel, a lesson which we must remember, and one which should cause us to fear, with a good fear, the fear of God. And that is where our Lord says that a devil that's driven out tries eventually to return. And when he returns, he brings with him seven other evil spirits more wicked than himself. And our Lord says the last state of that man is worse than the first. What a terrible tragedy. One who was freed from the power of the devil, and then not only one devil, but many devils return and subject him to their power and their influence. The last state of the man becomes worse than the first. And how does that happen? It happens because of a neglect of grace, backsliding in the spiritual life, cutting corners, compromising in the living of our faith. So that is what we must avoid. We must strive to be conscientious in the practice of our faith and avoid the tendency to cut corners. In the spiritual life, both growth as well as backsliding don't happen overnight. Like the Spanish expression, poco a poco, little by little. You want to acquire virtue? We wish we could find some magic solution that all of a sudden we can become a saint. Do this or that. Is there some great heroic deed I could do that I would be a saint? I'll do it. But there is no such magic pill. Rather, sanctity comes about through constant daily effort. Likewise, apostasy, total loss of faith, didn't happen overnight. If you know of someone who was a Catholic and eventually lost his faith, how did that happen? Well, maybe missing Mass here or there, compromising on church law, Friday abstinence, whatever it may be, here or there. And this gradual compromising led to more and more compromises, more and more grave sins, and eventually the person falls away and loses his faith. Again, it doesn't happen overnight, little by little. During Lent, during Holy Week, we read the Passion of our Lord. All of the different aspects of the Passion, the different events. And one that strikes us, and sometimes we're even tempted to wonder why the Holy Ghost inspired his writers, scriptural writers, to put it down. And that is the despair and suicide of Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas, no doubt, was a good and devout man at one point. Our Lord would not have chosen him to be one of his 12 apostles had Judas not been a good, devout, pious man. But he began to fall. And St. John, in fact, tells us about this, that he kept the purse. People would give donations for the food and sustenance of the apostles. They would be put in a common purse, and Judas had that purse, and he began to steal. St. John says he was a thief. Began to take a little bit here and a little bit there. And then avarice began to grow. And this led him finally to such a point that he betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. And yet after the deed had been done, he was tormented. And so he took them back to the chief priests and tried to give them back and said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And they were utterly unconcerned. They said, look you to it. It's your concern, not ours. And in despair, he took the money and threw it on the floor in the temple. That money that he so eagerly desired at one point now became to him like something burning his hands. And he threw it down on the floor and he went out and hanged himself. And how did this terrible fall happen? Little by little. Little compromises. Little indulgences. and failing to live a good spiritual life. So we should have a healthy fear. Like our Lord says here, the last state of that man became worse than the first. Our Lord even said of Judas, it would be better for that man if he had never been born. So we should have, without an excessive fear, we should have a healthy fear of our weakness and a healthy fear of compromising, backsliding, giving in to little indulgences that are against the commandments of God. Fear that we might then, what little things would lead to greater. As our Lord said, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is greater. We can also apply it, he that is unfaithful in the small things will likely be unfaithful in the greater things. This morning, we read in the breviary, the lessons for the third Sunday in Lent, the story from Genesis, I believe it was chapter 37, of Joseph. Now, this Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he is a type of our Lord and also of Saint Joseph, meaning he foreshadowed them by different events in his life. But I'm sure you remember the story how he was a favorite of his father. His father loved him more than his other brethren, preferred him, gave him this multicolored cloak as a sign of his affection. And this caused the other brothers to be jealous of Joseph and his father's preferment. And also he had a couple of dreams. And the dreams indicated that he eventually would be in a position where he would be over his brethren and even his parents. He would have a position of authority. And this caused them to dislike him even more. And then to top it all off, one day, because he was young, he was a boy, maybe a teenager, he went out and he found that his brothers had committed some sin. Scripture doesn't say what they did, but it was a wicked deed. And he went back and reported it to his father. And that especially made them very angry. So one day, the older brothers were far away from home, pasturing the flocks. And Jacob said to his young son Joseph, go see how it is getting on with your brothers. And so he went from one area to another asking, and he finally found them. And as he's approaching them, they saw him coming. And one of them said, look, the dreamer is coming, because he had those dreams. He said, let us kill him, and we'll take his cloak and kill an animal and soak it in the blood and then send it back to his father, and he will think that a wild beast killed him. But the oldest brother, Reuben, having a little more sense than the others, did not want to go so far. He loved Joseph, and he thought he would do what he could to save him and then later return him to his father. He said, no, don't kill him. Don't stain your hands with his blood, but put him in this dry cistern here that, just put him there for now. And he thought when the others were gone, he would go and rescue him, return him to his father. Well, he was away and a caravan came by on its way to Egypt. And so the brothers sold him. They sold him just like Judas sold his master. They sold their brother into slavery, and they thought that would be the end of it. They would never see him again. And of course, you know the story how providentially Joseph, through his interpretation of the dreams, when he was unjustly cast into prison, came into Pharaoh's favor, how he was given this great authority, how he saved up food during the 7 years of plenty to prepare for the 7 years of famine. And how during that famine, his brethren came to Egypt, and not recognizing him, he gave them grain, sold them grain, and then eventually revealed himself to them. And they were shocked, and they were also fearful. They thought he would enact revenge. But far from it, Joseph of the Old Testament not only forgave his brothers, but told them, go back home, bring our father, bring your families, and come here to Egypt, where I have such a position of authority, and I will give you good land and all that you need. St. Ambrose in the lessons of the breviary comments upon Joseph. And he says this, how could Joseph be preferred to the rest of men had he injured those who injured him and loved those who loved him? For most men do this. It is, however, a remarkable thing if you love your enemy as the Savior teaches. It is therefore truly marvelous that he acted thus before the coming of the gospel, that he showed mercy to those who injured him, that he forgave those who attacked him. And when sold, he did not render evil to them, but paid back the insult with kindness. And he goes on to say, we who have received the gospel have learned all this, but cannot fulfill it. So St. Ambrose goes on to say, what a model for us. Because in the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. There was not this idea of forgiving your enemies. Our Lord came and taught that, the gospel. And Joseph practiced it even back then. What an example for us. And again, Joseph serves as a type of Christ and also a type of Saint Joseph in different ways. At any rate, let us remember the importance of avoiding the allowing vice to grow. Notice the brothers of Joseph were envious of him. And this envy grew, and it got to such a point that some of them even wanted to kill him. Note the Pharisees. The Pharisees were humiliated by our Lord's superiority. And they disliked him, and that envy grew to such a point that they plotted his death. They betrayed him to their enemies, the Romans, to Pilate, and called out for his crucifixion and his death. How could that happen? It didn't come about overnight. But their dislike of our Lord grew into a hatred because they nursed it. They allowed it to remain in them. So this is why examination of conscience is so important. We examine our conscience at nighttime before we retire, make a good act of contrition, and by examining, we try to find where in our behavior, in our words, our actions, our thoughts, there are faults that we need to correct so that they don't grow and become bigger and blossom and end up becoming a real vice. So again, holiness, growth in virtue doesn't happen overnight, and neither does apostasy or falling away from the faith. The last state of that man became worse than the first. May God prevent such a terrible thing from happening to any of us, but rather let us recognize our failings and correct them in time and strive to fight that good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, so that little by little we grow in virtue and holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.